Okay, so Parshas Re'eh. Okay, so this week's already Rosh Chodesh Elul. Okay, this is about to end. We'll
4 weeks is Rosh Hashanah.
We'll discuss it. Okay.
Sunday night.
Okay. So again, we'll say over what we said in the past. What I saw this week, and maybe something. Re'ei, Re'ei, Anochi, Noisling of Techem, Ayoim, Brachu, Kvala. Re'ei, see, look. Re'ei. So the Yetiv Leiv says Re'ei. The trop on the word Re'ei is a Revi. Re'ei. And he does a beautiful play on words. And he says, but a person wants to understand timing, reasons for what happens in this world. He wants to understand why things happen. He has to look above. Time and mama baila. Reasons are above. Hashem, re'ei. A person wants to see. A person wants to understand why things happen. Taimim. The word trop. Trop also called tam. Taimim. The tam on re'ei. The trop on re'ei is gemayel. It's revi, which is above the word. There's some trop that are below the words. Sphere and mechatipcha, snachta on the bottom. And then there are those trop, taimim, that are above the word. Re'ei. You want to see taimim. You want to see reasons? The tam, the trop. The tam is gemayel. The reason is gemayel. Look up towards Hashem. A person has any questions, in Shemayim, everything is answered. When the Satmar Rebbe was under his chuppah, by his chasana, his father, who was the Kedushas Yomtiv, his father said to the future Satmar Rebbe, he said to him, why is the chuppah outside? Well, we do under an opening. Why is the chuppah under an opening? Why is the chuppah outside? One act in the rain, inside. How many chuppahs took place in the rain, in the snow, outside? In the heat, why not make a chuppah inside? Why is the chuppah outside? And the Kedushas Yomtiv said to the future Satmar Rebbe, he said to him, because the Chosin and the Kala are standing now under the chuppah. The whole future is ahead of them. And they might make a big mistake. They might think, oh, what are we worried about? We have plenty. To rely on. I can rely on my father, rely on my grandfather, rely on the Shver, rely on the Shviga, whoever it might be, rely on this uncle. We have people to take care of us. We don't have to worry about anything. The chuppah's under the open sky. Look up and remember that as you start life together, there's only one person, there's only one to rely on, Hashem Echad. Don't think that you can rely on this person, on that relative, on somebody else. The chuppah is under the open sky. Re'ei, look up. And remember that you can only rely on Hashem. You know, many times we go through life and we encounter difficulties, troubles, situations, and we don't know what to do, and we get a little bit confused, we get a little bit sedate, mixed up, and we can't go on. How many times people use the expression, I can't take it anymore, I can't go on anymore. So they say it was a short little story to Shabina Rav. A Yid once came from Shabina Rav, and he said to him, I can't take it anymore. I have this problem, and I have that problem. That's not working out. I can't take it anymore. I'm lost. So Shabina Rav says, let me tell you a story. He says, one year, Erev Yom Kippur, there was a Yid, and he was running to go say Kaparos early in the morning, Erev Yom Kippur. In one hand, he had his chicken. In the other hand, he had his machzor. And he's rushing through the streets of Yerushalayim with the chicken in one hand and the machzor in the other hand. And as he's running through the streets, his glasses fall off his face and his glasses land on the floor. No, they didn't break. His glasses fall on the floor. And he has a big dilemma. How can he pick up his glasses? What should he do? If he puts the chicken down, it's going to run away. And the machzor, he can't put the machzor down on the floor. So he's standing there not knowing what to do. How does he pick up his glasses from the floor? He doesn't have a free hand. Can't put the chicken down. And can't put the machzor down. You know what he did? So the Yid says to Shemini Rebbe, no, what did he do? Tell me, what did he do? And the Shemini Rebbe says to him, I don't know what he did either. But one thing I can tell you is that he's not still there. He's not still standing in that spot thinking what to do. He found an answer. In other words, he told him, everybody gets stuck in life. We come to these situations where we're stuck in life and we don't know what to do. Don't get lost. Tracht, Yitracht. Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Mispal, Kadosh Baruch Hu sends an Eitza. One thing I know for sure, he's not still standing there with a chicken and the machzor in his hand. Somehow he solved this problem. He said to him, you too? It's true, you might have died, it's not a problem. Davin, be mispalo, think what you could do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps. Gamze Yavar, problems go by. Everybody knows in their own lives, look back at the past years, and everybody remembers situations they were in, and at the time that it happened, how am I ever going to get out of this situation? How is it ever going to be resolved? And years later, it's resolved, everything is fine. Gamze Yavar. Things work out. A person trusts in Hashem, things work out. The Pasuk says later on, Bonim Matem Hashem Lakechem. Rabbi Revi, Pasuk.
The eighth of the level was a Sakhara Swatha, or the Sakhara from Sakhara?
Sakhara.
Sakhara.
I think so.
Yeah.
Bonim, I'm not good with Yichus. When it comes to the Yichus of, I'm not the person to ask. Bonim Matem.
Because you said something,
you have to write. Yeah. The eighth of the level. I can tell you the names and who wrote that. Yichus, I'm not the person to ask. I don't know. So.
Rabbi Taylor.
Bonim atem Hashem lokeichem. Perik yudalad pasuk aleph. Your bonim, your children to Hashem, loisus goydu, veloisus simu karcha berenechem omeis. Don't scratch yourself and don't put a bald spot on your head between your eyes over a mace. Okay. Well, chayra, the pasuk seems to have no connection. Beginning of that, your bonim Hashem, loisus goydu. Our pasuk says your bonim Hashem, you're on a higher level. Don't act like the goyim and don't become depressed and fall into despair and distress and pull out your hair and scratch yourselves. It's a very powerful Sfas Emes. The last Sfas Emes on Re'e, Tofresh Samach Dalet, the very last piece. The Sfas Emes brings out a Zayah Kadosh, and he ties it into this pasuk beautifully. The Zayah brings down a Pashas Vayichi. The Zayah brings down that a person's neshama is sent down to this world to accomplish, for training, for education. Just like a son appears to a king who sends his son out into the world. And the son is sent out into the world to go learn the ways of the world, to go learn how to behave, to learn what to do, to learn how to be together with people, to learn how to be part of the world. And the son, the king's son, is sent out and he settles in a village. And in that village, he has his education, his training, his learning, and that's where he grows up. One day, the king sends for his son to come back. The king calls for his son to come back. And the son, of course, has to go back to the king's palace. And the people in the village are very distraught, and very sad, upset that the king's son is leaving them. How could you leave us? Until one chacham says to them, don't you know, this is the king's son. His place is not here in this village. His place is always in the king's palace. Just was sent there for training, for his education. And the Zohar explains, that's us. Our neshama is sent down to this world. In this world, we get our education. It's our chance to learn, our chance to do mitzvahs, our chance to do chesed. We come down to this world. And one day, we get the call comes to come back, to return to the king's palace up in Shemayim. And the call comes, and the neshama has to leave the guf, and the neshama has to go back up in Shemayim to the king's palace. Bonim atem Hashem lokeichem, says the Sfas Emes. That's exactly what the pasuk is teaching us. Yabonim Hashem, when the neshama has to leave, and the neshama has to go back to Shemayim, it's like a son returning to his father. It's like Yabonim, your children to Hashem, like a son returning to his father. Therefore, what is going to do? What is simu karcho? What is a person upset? Fakert. This neshama, everyone knows the neshama belongs up in Shemayim. As fast as this goes a step further. And he says, the pasuk is teaching us that even while we're alive, a person is alive in this world, he has to remember what the Ikir is. Always remember who we are. We're born in Matem. We're born in Hashem Lokeichem. And therefore, Loisasimu Karcha Beinenechem Lameis. The Guf Olam Hazes compared to Lameis. It doesn't last forever. A person is born in Matem Hashem Lokeichem. Don't put a bald spot Beinenechem. When you're in this world, don't fall into the traps of this world, into the Tivis, into the Averis of this world. Beinenechem. Eyes, a person sees, a person understands by looking, by seeing with his eyes. Don't let your eyes cause you to stumble and put a big bald spot on yourself by doing averus and missing out on the mitzvahs and the Torah that you can do. Why? Because you're born in Matan Hashem Lokeichem. You're children to Hashem. when you bonim Hashem lekeichem, what's this going to do? The pasuk is telling us how to behave in this world. What's a simo karcha? Don't make sure there's nothing missing, no bald spots in this world. Beinanechem, use your eyes properly, use your head properly. And if and when a person is nifter, the pasuk is telling us don't go ahead and scratch, don't go ahead and make bald spots, don't tear out your hair in distress. Remember who we are, the bottom matzma shem lekeichem, and ultimately the neshama belongs back in the king's palace together with Hashem and Shemayim. Okay, I saw a few interesting gematrias or remazim in the parasha this week. The Baal HaTurim brings down on this pasuk of bonim atem Hashem lekeichem. How many words are in the pasuk? Perek Yudal pasuk up to 12 words. Bonim atem Hashem lekeichem. Loi tisgaydu veloi sasimu karcha bein einechem lemeis. There are 12 words. Says the Baal HaTurim, 12 words. Bonim atem, a remez for 12 shvatim. How many bonim are in Klal Yisrael? 12 shvatim. So the pasuk of bon matem, Hashem lekeichem, has 12 words, a remez to the 12 shvatim. The pasuk says, later on, we have the mitzvah of giving tzedakah, nasoin titein loy, perek tesvav, pasuk yir aleph. It says, give to the ani. The pasuk uses a double lashon, nasoin titein loy. Why give him? Titein loy, give to him. What's nasoin titein loy? Give to him. And the chidah explains very nicely. The pasuk is teaching us in Eitzah Taiva how one should give tzedakah and how one should be weary of the Eitzah Hara who comes to stop him from giving tzedakah and how one can overcome the Eitzah Hara. You know what the Eitzah is? Nosoin titein loy. Nosoin. Even before the Ani comes, even before the appeal starts, before the Gabbai comes asking, before the Ani shows up, nosoin. Be mafresh your money beforehand. Separate your mice and money beforehand. Separate your money. Already prepare it to be given. So that when the opportunity arises, and the ani comes, the appeal comes, the gabay comes, the need arises, it's titan loy, it's right here, it's ready to be given. It's not that you have to reach into your pocket and take out the money. The Yitzhar will come and say, he needs it. You have every reason why he doesn't need it, and every rationalization not to give the money. I'll give it somewhere else. Not sign titan loy. Two givings. First, the hafrasha, separate the money, have it aside. Once you put the money aside, then when the actual opportunity does arise, it'll be much easier to give it instead of first having to reach into your pocket. Nasoin titein loy. The gematria of the word ani, ayin nun yud. Ani is, what's the gematria of the word ani? Ani is 130. The gematria of asher, ayin shin yud resh, it's 580. Asher is 580. Shinra Resh is 500. Ayin Yud is 80. 580. What's the difference between the Asher and the Ani? 580 minus 130? 450. The word Tain, Taf Nun, give, is a gematria of 450. When you give the Ani, the Asher is fulfilling his purpose, and the Ani is helping the Asher, and the Ani is receiving for himself. Tain is what equalizes, makes equal the Ani and the Asher. The Asher is 540, the Ani is 130. Take away, this is tain. That's how the Asher and the Ani interact with each other through a tain. Not like titein loy.
The Ani gets a mitzvah for collecting money.
The Gemara says that more than the Asher does for the Ani does for the Asher.
Right, because
the Tess Yud. Gemara says that the Ani does more for the Asher, the Asher for the Ani. And Chav Shulamit says on, so why does the Ani have to suffer to do good for the Asher? He says that the schar the Ani has in Olam Haba is so much greater, because the Ani gets all of that schar for encouraging and helping the Ashirim do tzedakah. If not for the Ani, the Asher couldn't do the mitzvah of tzedakah. So in Shemayim, the Ani gets schar that he's the one who caused the Asher to do tzedakah. The schar is so great, as Mecham Shulavetz, that the Ani is willing to suffer in this world for the schar that he has in the next world. The pasuk says, "Pasayach tiftach es yadcha." In Peretes Vav, Pasuk Ches. Ki fasayach tiftach es yad chaloi. Open up your hand to the Ani and give the Ani what he needs, what he's missing. I know he said this story over in the past, but it's a nice story. Reb Shalom Shvabron said over this Maisa. There was a big gevir in the city of Telz. Reb Doinish was his name. And Reb Doinish was very wealthy and he gave tzedakah to everybody who came to him. But he had a special place in his heart for the Alta from the Vardik. When the Alta from the Vardik would come to him, he would literally open up his pockets and he would say, take whatever you want. Open up his checkbook. Whatever you need, take. and he would give away whatever the Alta needed. One day, a certain person came collecting, and he went to Reb Donish's house, and he asked for a larger sum of money. Reb Donish gave him, of course, much less, a certain percentage, 10% of what he asked. He asked for 1,000, he gave him only 100. So this person who was new in town said, you know, Reb Donish, I heard about you, that when the Alta from the Vardik comes to your house, you open up your pockets, you open up your checkbook, you tell him, take whatever you need. We others need also. Why don't you give us also? Why are you like stingy on everybody else's cheshbon? And why by the Alta from the Vardik, they give him everything that he asks for? Reb Donish says to him, because there's a big difference between the way you come to collect and the way the Alta comes to collect. He says, when you came to collect today, you put on your big day Shabbos. You came in dressed in your fine suit. You wanted to impress me. You came in dressed in your nice suit. You wanted to make a nice impression. You came, you stood by the door as a sign of respect. You didn't sit down till I sit down. You didn't start speaking till I addressed you first. You were mechavid me. But Reb Donish says, I know the truth. You're not mechavid me. You're mechavid my money. Because a Talmud Chacham I'm not, a Din Gadol I'm not, a Tzaddik I'm not. You're mechavid my money. You honor my money. I want to honor my money also. Why should I give it all away to you? But when the Alta from the Vardik comes into the house, he comes in, he walks right in, sits down, and he starts giving me Musar writing. He says, Oi, Dainish, Dainish, what's going to be? Do you think you could take all your money with you after 120 years? Do you think the money's going to go with you after 120 years? What good will your money be? But if Torah, Mitzvahs, Kmus Chasodim, Tztaka, that's what you take with you after 120 years. So Dainish says, when I hear the Alta say that, I hate my money. It's no good, it won't do me any good. Only Mitzvahs, Tztaka does good. So I want to give it all away. So I open up my checkbook, my pockets, here, I tell the altar, take whatever you need. All right. All depends on a person's attitude. How a person looks at money. When the altar came in, it was Musar. I realized that having the money with me after 120 years is not going to help. And therefore, I let the altar take whatever he needs. Okay. Being that this Shabbos is already Rosh Chodesh Elul, first day of Rosh Chodesh Elul, Higi Azman, it's very time a person has to start thinking about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, like they say, the new year, the next year is coming upon us. It's time to think back to the previous year. Did we go up? Did we go down? What did we accomplish? There was a prophet in the Satmar Rebbe. Did I say over last week? I don't think so. The Pasuk says in last week's parasha, May Reishis Hashanah, Yad Acheris Hashanah. From the beginning of the year until the end of the year. At the end of Parshas Ekev in Perik Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Beis, Eretz Asher Hashem Lekecha Dorish Oiso, the land that Hashem inquires, looks after, Tomid Eini Hashem Lekecha Bo, Hashem's eyes are constantly in Eretz Yisrael, May Reishis Hashanah, Yad Acheris Hashanah. From the beginning of the year till the end of the year. There's something Rebbe asked the obvious question. What happened to the extra hay? It says, May Reishis Hashanah, Yad Acheris Hashanah. Should it have said Vad Achris Hashanah? From the beginning of Hashanah the year until the end of year. Should it have said Achris Hashanah to the end of the year? Apidiktuk, I'm not sure what the answer is. But the Sefer Rebbe said the answer is Poshut. Because every year in the beginning, this is going to be the year. Yes, anybody, Rosh Hashanah time, what kind of a year are you going to have? This is it. This year I'm going to do tshuva. This year I'm finally going to learn that Masechta I never had a chance. This year I'm going to be able to do more chesed. I'll give it tzedakah. This is going to be the year. And what happens at the end? It turns into a plain old Shana. It turns into a year like any other year. May Reishis Hashanah. At the beginning it's going to be the year. At the end it's Achris Shana. At the end it's just like any other year. When it comes Rosh Hashanah, we wake up Hashanah. But the truth is, it's never too late. The end is never too late. We have to take the end also and turn it into a Hashanah. Make a little bit of a cheshbon. Where we're holding the things that we wanted to do this year, the mitzvahs we wanted to do, and we didn't have a chance. It's not too late. There's still a chodesh, one month left. The Dumno Magid has a famous mashal about chodesh Elul, and hope it's not too early to start with a little preparation for Rosh Hashanah. A person comes knocking on the door, a wealthy man's house. He comes knocking on the door, and the servant, the butler, opens the door, and he says to the person, "What can I do for you?" And the Ani says, "I must see the Barabbas. I must see the wealthy owner of the house. I must talk to him very important matters. And the Batul says, I'm sorry, but he's busy right now and it's not possible to meet with him. So the Ani says, okay, when can I come back? What time can I meet with the Balabas? The Batul says, come back at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he's free. The Ani goes away. 4 o'clock sharp, there's a knock on the door. The Ani is standing there again. Batul answers the door. The Ani says, it's 4 o'clock. Can I meet with the Balabas? And the Batul says, I'm sorry, but he's still busy and he can't meet with anybody. He can't meet with you right now. The Ani says, when? I need to meet with him. I'm not going away until I meet with him. I'm going to stay here until I'm able to meet with him. And the Batul says, I'm sorry, right now you can't. And he closes the door. Every few minutes, the Ani knocks on the door again. Now? Now? Keeps on knocking on the door. The wealthy man is looking out the window and he sees the Ani standing outside and every few minutes knocking on the door. Finally, after an hour or so, he has Rachmanis and the Ani. He tells the Batul to let him in. The Ani comes in and the Asher says, what can I do for you? And the Ani says, I need a loan, a halva. I have a certain situation. I need a desperate loan for a short while. And the Ani pulls out, I have a shtar already I wrote up. I have two co-signers who guarantee the loan. They'll guarantee that I'll pay it back. And here's the document. Everything's ready to go. All I have to do is sign it. Can I borrow the money? The Asher looks at the shtar. Everything is legitimate, legal. And he has Rachmanis on the Ani. And he says, fine. Loans the money, sign the shtar, and the deal is done. The Ani goes out, the Simcha, he's happy, he got a loan. He meets his friend. He says to him, why are you so happy today? He tells him, because I was able to get a loan from the Asher. Ooh, he's lending out money. Oh, now it's my turn. So that night in Shul, between Mincha and Ma'ariv, the Asher finishes Mincha. The Ani's friend walks over to the Asher and he says, can you lend me some money? I need some money to lend. The Asher says, I don't have money with me right now, not right now, I'm sorry. When can I come back? I don't know. So he says to the Asher, I don't understand. How come my friend the Ani, you were so generous to him today, and you lent him whatever he needed, and me, you refused to give a loan? And the Asher says, don't you understand? Your friend came prepared. Your friend came, he knocked, he waited, he came back. And when he asked for the loan, he had a shtar, it was all ready to go. He had all the paperwork ready, all the documents ready. He had two co-signers on the loan. Everything was ready to go. Of course I gave him the loan. But you just bumped into me and asked me for a loan without any preparation at all. For that, I can't give the loan. The Nimshel is just very obvious. To the Nur Magid, comes Rosh Hashanah time. We have a Chodesh Elul, we knock on the door, have Rachmanis, help. We want to do better, do tshuva. We come Rosh Hashanah time, we have a shtar in our pocket. Look, Hashem, look how we've improved, look how better we are, look what we did, look how we did tshuva, look how we spent the whole month of Elul. We have two co-signers on the loan testifying how we spent our Chodesh Elul, how we improved ourselves. Please let us have another year of life, lend us another year of chayim. Hashem says yes. And then you have those people who ignore the whole Chodesh Elul, and they bump into Rosh Hashanah, just so happens, oh, tonight's Rosh Hashanah, we'll go to Shul, and they daven, please. They're like the Ani who comes and bumps into the Asher and Shul without any preparation at all. The Nimshel doesn't need more of an explanation. We have a whole Chodesh Elul, Aniga Doidi, Vidoidi Li. It's a month where Hashem is looking for us to come close. Hashem comes out to us. Let's use the opportunity by improving ourselves and trying to be better and mefrat, treating other people with kavod and respect. Because the way we treat others are the way they treat us in Shemayim. And we shtaka mizaycha to be able to continue learning and mizaycha to ksibich simetoyva, a good ben shiyah.